You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Chris here. You might have expected that. Yes, it's Chris. And we just saw Crazy Rich Asians. And I think you might be a little surprised by our review. I'm just saying. I know you were all like, I don't know. But listen to our review. But first, I got to tell you, our sponsor, Oscar Blues, oh my God, they're amazing. Yes, they do provide us with beers. And in exchange, we tell you about how good those beers are. We're very thankful to them, the way they help us out with that, because God knows part of running a good podcast like this is getting people being willing to come over to do all these reviews with us and all these podcasts, of which we have so many. And having a lot of beer for free for them is a good way to do it. And making sure that beer is really good is a great way to do that. And Oscar Blues is indeed that beer. Right now, I am indeed drinking their Mama's Little Yellow Pills, following up on their Old Chub Scotch Ale. But you know what? They have a lot of canned beers out there that you can get. Yes, they are the first brew pub to put their beers in a can with their Dale's Pale Ale, and they're all good. But if you go to their brew pubs as well, which there are two in Colorado, one in North Carolina, one in Austin, they have a huge variety of selections, including my favorite, the Fugly, which is their fruit IPA using like Asian fruits. Oh my God, it's so good. Asian fruits. Wow, it all comes together. Crazy Rich Asians, Asian fruits. I don't know. Also, big thanks to our subscribers. And please, I'm not even vaguely joking, please think about becoming a subscriber. We need you so badly. I can't tell you the degree to which this site cannot function without you. Yes, you may be like, I already listen to more podcasts than I can handle. I know there's tons of bonus content if I become a subscriber in the forums at oneofus.net, but I don't know if I'm going to have time for that. Well, first off, you might find some of those podcasts are your new favorite podcasts because they're super fun. But secondly, you're paying to keep us doing the podcast that you get for free that you love on the site anyway. The highly suspect reviews, the deliberations of dooms, the digital noises, the gigantic casts, the thumbtacks and the screw jobs, the what have you. We have so many podcasts on the site and they're only there because of people who subscribe. Please think about becoming a subscriber to a $2, $5, $10, or $25 level. There's always new stuff coming out on there. We've got a bunch of new stuff on the way as well. And you know what? That's enough. Let's just get to the review. I can't help but feel the main takeaway of this movie for me is I really need some rich friends like that. If you're out there and you want to be friends with me, you're like, no, Chris would never be friends with me. He doesn't. And you're worth like $100 million. I want to be your friend.
I've never felt so poor.
I don't care. I don't care anything. I am that shallow.
I mean, that's my one takeaway for this movie when I was sitting here next to Mike was, at least it's not white people making you feel poor this time, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, no white people are this rich, I don't think.
They don't eat as well as these people.
And they don't have as much fun with this money.
We're talking about Crazy Rich Asians, which is the latest movie by John M. Chu, who's a name that should be familiar, although he's certainly never had what I would call, you know, he's not the kind of guy you look at for Oscars. He's the kind of guy who actually has a pretty good visual eye for trashy genres.
You mean like Step Up?
Step Up 3D? I'm sorry.
Great. It's so great.
Like, I still am, like, amazed that that film is as entertaining and as colorful and cool as it is. Step Up 2, The Streets was, like, one of those. I remember we saw that and went, this is so much better than the first one, which wasn't that good. How did that happen?
Did he actually direct Gem and the Holograms, or am I having a stroke?
He did. That was not so good. And G.I. Joe Retaliation, which also
is the better one.
Which is the better one. The two, yeah. But still.
It is with Uzis on a mountain.
And say what you will about Justin Bieber. Everyone I know who saw Justin Bieber Never Say Never said it's surprisingly entertaining. But that being said, here's him taking on the rom-com. And I would say arguably doing a pretty good job of it, but in a very John M. Chu sort of way.
Yeah.
You know, let's make it brighter, more colorful, more of everything, so that even if you don't give a shit about the plot, which, to be honest, we didn't.
I can't say that about this.
I feel like the poster lets you know all this. It's bright, colorful. There beautiful Asian people on
the
cover.
Is it threesome of the peacock, or maybe yes. I just dreamt that one?
Yeah, I was like, we were so looking nice. At the slide for the poster in the movie theater, and Lee Michael's like, I think the peacock actually directed this movie.
it does it on his spare time when it's not trying to kill pandas.
Yeah. You know, this is indeed it's based on a novel of the same name, and it's this a poor girl, not super poor, but, you know.
Oh, she's like middle class at this point. Middle class
Asian-American girl, played by Constance Wu, who's named Rachel, and she's married to, like, so handsome, he probably is a CG
Asian
guy. Or not married, yeah, just dating.
Yeah, they're just dating.
Played by Henry Golding.
She's been dating him for, like, a year.
Isn't he, like, on some big show?
I feel like I've seen him.
Sure, the travel show.
The travel show. I've never seen that. But anyway, he's, like... He's so hunky, it's ridiculous. He's like a giant carved in marble Michelangelo
statue.
Japan.
Chris hasn't been this excited.
It helps that he's rich.
He's not much of an actor, mind you, but he's
fine.
No. I was going to say he was probably the weakest link in this movie.
His money had great acting.
I mean,
be pretty and be a nice guy.
He was all about just dripping with sincerity.
I always thought he was amazing, but he didn't, you know, drag down his scenes. And they also didn't expect him to talk very much. Is mostly focusing on Rachel's story.
But, really.
The story is like he's like, well, look, we're going to go to Singapore. My family's from there. You never met my family because my brother's getting married and it'll be cool. And she starts to realize very shortly that this family is kind of wealthy. Wait, they're really wealthy. Oh, they're crazy rich, which we mean like Donald Trump rich. Like, whoa.
Donald Trump would look poor next
to me. That was Ken Jeong's house.
Yeah,
Donald Trump rich.
That's true. And so, you know, she's
what Iron Man amount of wealth would have actually looked like on screen.
You know, if he had, like, the same sort of taste and decor as Scarface.
Yeah,
But she goes out there, Michelle Yao, who is, like, the kind of the grand dame of Chinese cinema, I would argue. Like, one of the all-time greats, plays his mother, who, of course, is, although very polite to a fault, is just... obviously disapproving right off the bat of what's going on here. Although not so much where Rachel knows it right off the bat. But it goes into meeting all of the extended family, who I would argue the supporting cast here is 1,000 times more entertaining than the actual two main characters in the film.
I would agree, yeah. I think Rachel, she's pretty good, and she has a good story arc. Her story arc is a little bit telegraphed. I feel like I kind of knew what was going to happen after the first 30 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But all the supporting characters, when we weren't with the main characters, we were having fun with them.
Yes.
Especially, who's the best friend?
Aquafina.
Or something.
Well, yeah, Aquafina,
yeah. She, in the commercial, in the trailer, she's hilarious. She's hilarious in the movie. I was afraid they were going to use all her best jokes, as they do sometimes, but no. She got the biggest laughs in the audience.
The
I would watch a whole movie just about her.
Oh, her, and then Nico Santos as Oliver was great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He says, I'm the rainbow sheep of the family, which is such a great line. I can't believe I've never heard it before. And he's wonderful. He's the gay best friend we all wish we had.
Yeah. Who's rich.
Who's also rich.
So, yes.
But I'd like to point out as well, and it's oddly placed in the movie, the major subplot of the film that's not directly connected to anything except thematically, perhaps.
It's very strange.
But Gemma Chan plays Astrid, who is it's told early on. She's the one member of the family who Rachel's already met and really, really liked. Like, they hit it off, even though she's, like, so rich, it's insane.
I do want to say, how does Rachel meet her and be like, oh, your cousin's so nice, but you're not rich? It's like, the millionaire woman who everybody thinks is the sweetest woman in the world.
Well, they showed in the first scene when they first get to Singapore, Rachel and Nick hang out with some of their family, and it seems like they're just normal people.
Right.
They're casually going about the city trying street food. An amazing scene, by the way.
Hungry.
They ordered so much food, and I was so hungry.
Yeah, she most likely met Astrid in, like,
so
New York somewhere.
I could have totally seen how he could have met Astrid, and she could have just been casual.
I mean, it's actually an interesting subplot with her and her husband, who also came from, like, not wealthy roots, except it's kind of a reflection of, like, Rachel's... maybe the family's own fears on some level of what could go wrong. Like, here's this person who will never really love you because they will resent you being rich.
I hate that he shared my name, too.
So I will say, though, I felt like that storyline did some good things, especially in regard to what you worry the most with a romantic comedy, where when she first sees, like, a text message, she's like, oh, something's afoot. It's like, Oh, please don't be the misunderstanding of text message trope of everything from a...
Oh, but this movie's filled with a lot of old dumb tropes.
But it doesn't follow the misunderstandings one, which I think is the cheapest one they do in these movies, where it's like, just talk. Be people and talk if you think somebody's doing something wrong. Instead, it's like, well, these characters generally try to attack things head on and talk to each other. And the one time they don't talk towards the end is like, I kind of get that because it's a very big splitting point.
I will say, like, every time Astrid, played by Gemma Chan, is on screen, she's mesmerizing. She is arguably one of the top five most beautiful people in the entire world.
She could easily have been the lead of the movie.
Oh, yeah. I feel like if it had been another few years from now, she probably would have been, because right now she's actually getting a lot of success on BBC show, maybe it's Sky TV, I forget, but the show Humans. And she's one of the leads of that show, and she's just mesmerizing on that show. You're definitely going to be a girl in the next Bond film.
Real quick, I want to mention something that this Wikipedia article says that I don't remember in the movie at all. Who the fuck is Charlie? It says Charlie's ex-fiance about Astrid. Who the fuck is Charlie?
Who the fuck
like,
is Charlie?
Like, was that a character that was, like, cut out of this film?
I think you're right. I think you're accurate on that. Or maybe it's a mistake. Because
it is there's
that one character on here who they're like, who presents herself as being all nice, and then you find out she's just trying to like, she's trying to set up Rachel for a fall because she used to be in a relationship with him, and she's all jelly because she's like, I was supposed to get him, not you, little poor girl.
Yeah, that was Amanda, who was she was a mean girl that lasted all of like 5 minutes. Yeah,
she had her little reason to exist to move the story along, which is just that. It's like everybody is staring at her at Rachel because they're like. Most of them, it seems like, are like, she didn't deserve this. She's not from our world. Also, you're not just not being rich, but she's Asian American. She's never even been to China before.
Well, speaking of Rachel not being from their world, this movie, I think, did a lot of seen it before things, but they did it really well, such as Rachel not being from their world and her being like a fish out of water, but she wasn't a stupid fish out of water. Mm. She did some easily mistakable things, like trying to drink from like a hand bowl.
That was about the only one.
And you believe that she was uncomfortable a little bit, but she was never at any point like unbelievable. She felt like a real character.
I was gonna say, most of her missteps were like, Nick, you could have really kind of like given her like a slight starter for this. Like when she calls the what turned out to be his old maid grandma, it's like you could have just told her who he was meeting before like taking her to an old woman and who seems to be really sweet. It's like you could have just said this is my old nanny and said you're like, oh, you just made a huge faux pas. It's like that was on you, really.
I mean, my only real problem inside the film of characters acting like nobody would ever act that way is there's, of course, you got to get to that point that leads into the second half of the third act where it's like, oh, and now I'm mad at my fiance because, like, that was such a traumatic experience. I don't want to be specific for anyone who's looking forward to seeing this without spoilers. But I'm kind of like, why are you mad at him? He literally almost went all over himself, even in the circumstances, to be like, no, this is wrong. I don't agree with this. And I'm like, no, you're kind of being awful to the guy, the wrong person.
No, I don't agree with that. I get exactly why she felt like that. She just didn't want to see him because she will think about that situation.
No, but that's selfish.
But that's the point. It's supposed to be the moment where she has to be selfish.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody walked up to you and told you some fucked up shit about it, I would be like, I don't want to see that person for a little while.
Well, he didn't tell her.
No. I don't think you saw it in the right way, Chris. Yeah. I don't think Rachel was mad at Nick about that. I think she was just upset about the situation and what it meant for their relationship.
Yeah, she's mad at the family as a whole.
I understand that, but the way to deal with it is not to not answer the phone for a week.
Maybe. I mean, one, I took it as like maybe 2 days.
Well, she's mad at the family as a whole, so it makes sense she wouldn't try talking.
I will say, when the person who shows up at the end, because I feel like that's it's a thing that'd be a spoiler, when that person shows up, the fact she doesn't question it till they tell us how she got there is like, really? You know where you're from, and you think this person shows up out of nowhere, and it's just normal?
But you don't think they have money, huh?
This really is the type of movie that you go, like, I would tell, like,
most... I have $3 in my account, man.
I would tell most of the women that I know, take your girlfriends, go see this movie. You'll have a good time. do not go see this if you're like on the road to getting married, because then no matter what you do, it will suck by comparison to the marriage, the wedding that's actually in this movie.
I think
the
if you're broke.
The swamp?
Yeah, I was just like, I thought that was amazing.
It was really cool. Also very odd.
It was odd, but that was part of why it was so amazing. I mean, this film keeps doing stuff like that where it's like, that is so ridiculously over the top, and I'm super jealous.
Can I just say that scene with the scene in the wedding was one step away from being Love Actually, the choir popping up and saying, all you need is love. It was basically there.
I didn't have a problem with that.
I kind of wanted. I just found it hilarious to me. I was like, Love Actually did this already. You're basically just doing a more classy version of that.
I mean, it's dripping with like a romantic sentiment. It's definitely Singapore porn. It's like travel. It's a travel commercial for Singapore. Let's make no mistake. This is financed largely by a Chinese company. They're like, hey guys, Singapore is awesome. You should come here. The movie like practically is like one money shot after another of how awesome Singapore is. And I admit now I'm like, Singapore is on my list of places I've got to go visit.
I feel like it was a little more than that though.
But yeah, you're just like, I just want the street.
I mean, it was financing Singapore, or like advertising Singapore, but it was also advertising the acting chops of Asian people. The most underutilized, you know, race of people in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely no reason in my mind that Constance Wu and Gemma Chan can't be in the same room as like Jessica Chastain or, well, I don't know, Brooke
absolutely.
Shields.
I mean, this thing's actually tracking to do quite well, and yeah. I'm not surprised because it really is. I mean, despite all of those things, which I don't even mean negatively that I was listening, it just is what it is. It's actually a quite funny movie that's shot in a way that's very engaging. I mean, all that stuff that the like I said, the travel porn, the food porn, the rich people porn is really nice to watch.
If it was shot in a bad way, this could have been a really boring movie.
Yeah,
but your eyes always had something really cool to look at. They even did, kept you awake. It kept you entertained.
They even did the most interesting way I've ever seen anyone film people communicating on social media. I was like, that was really cool early on with a sort of like about a story breaking big and traveling. Everyone was like, well, that was really entertainingly
shot.
And
then they showed it took them all of 5 minutes to do all of that. It's like,
that was a little bit
social
like,
media's fast.
It's not that fast.
Well, it's among like all of these rich ass people who love gossip. I could totally see that happening.
I would say maybe an hour. But
an hour,
still,
I believe. 5 minutes.
Honestly, it was maybe like 10 minutes, to be honest.
It is a well-shot movie where, like, there wasn't a part where I was like, you didn't have all the fun you could have with this. There's the part with the bachelor and the bachelorette party where I'm like, you took this to its craziest level you could. I don't know if it's in the novel, but you had the most fun you could have with the idea of a rich person's bachelor party. I was leaning over to Chris, talking about our friend Kyle, and going, so can we do like a quarter of this for Kyle's bachelor party, something?
Right.
Where can we find a bazooka, though?
I am looking. Yeah, there's a whole
bunch.
We're
in Texas.
There's a whole bunch of characters RPGs who were associated with Astrid who were not in this movie. So it feels like her part was originally a lot bigger than it was. Mm. And it did feel oddly placed because I was interested in that story, but it always was an afterthought in the film.
Well, I can see how it's based on a novel because I could tell in the novel she probably had this really long like character arc.
Right.
And they still wanted to include parts of it, but they didn't really know how.
Because
so it was really, really...
Because it's still tonally similar to the things we're talking about with the other
situation.
It was
kind of like the foil.
Well, when you get an actress that good as well, because she is amazingly talented in this, I think, you do want to give some more time to her.
Well, there's some stuff in the story that happens that could only happen because of her plot line. Specifically, one specific one that I can think of. But I don't know if I should spoil it, I guess. I don't know, it's not really a spoiler. It's just that their grandma shows up at the wedding as, like, basically a favor kind of thing to Astrid. But it's, like, the only thing that only reason she's there, and even then you could kind of come up with another reason for her to be there. Yeah. So there isn't too much like with Astrid stuff that could be completely thrown out, but I did look up the Charlie thing, and I think it's the dude at the very end of the film that we were talking about.
Possibly so.
Yeah.
But there's I was saying earlier there's a lot of old tropes, but you're right, they do don't necessarily do exactly what you expect with them. There's a lot of stuff here that is formulaic, but then tweaks it enough that you're like, oh, well, that's interesting.
But not the ham-fisted version that we're overly used to.
I mean, it's definitely filled with treacle, but it's pretty to watch treacle, and you're not like sitting there going, ugh, can you please fix some of the dialogue at the very least? I mean, it's corny, but in the way that you kind of want a romantic comedy to be corny.
You expect
I found myself walking out of this going, Despite myself, I found it kind of charming. And I agree with you, Kim. I think it's great, this film that is literally nothing but Asian actors. And my God, is it a huge cast. It's filled with so many charismatic people in it. Even some of the minor characters are very memorable. You're like, there's the guy who's the party dude who's leading the bachelor party, which, by the way, I want to go to that bachelor party.
The party dude who actually thinks he's Scarface.
Who's from Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he's the Chinese roommate in Silicon Valley who's kind of taken over the house.
I didn't recognize him. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
It's because he's chunkier in this film.
In my opinion, this movie's like the romantic comedy or romantic version of like Black Panther as far as casting goes. Like, if you are Asian and in Hollywood and you were not in this movie, fire your agent.
Up. Yeah.
Like, I mean, get a new agent, dude.
Ken Jeong is even in this motherfucking movie.
It's like the weirdest part ever. He's just being Ken Jeong, but they kind of toned him down a little bit.
Yeah, they didn't overuse him. Thank
first scene,
God.
And Chris, the second like he gets that turn in that first scene, Chris, like, I hear him burst out laughing. It's like, yep, that's a great use of Ken Jeong. It's like, oh yeah, no, I definitely speak English. Fuck you. It's like, all right, good job, Ken Jeong.
But let's go to final thoughts. Ben, why don't you start us out?
Sure. I will say romantic comedies are kind of a guilty pleasure. I love a good one. I enjoy some of the mediocre ones, and I can't stand the bad ones like the rest of us. And there's a lot of really bad ones, because just like horror movies, they're that cheap schlock that they just shovel out to the theaters because they know a lot of people will go see it just because romance makes you warm and bubbly if it's done well.
Yeah. There are people who know that's their genre and they're going to see it.
Exactly. This one, I had high hopes going in, partially because, as Kim had said, it's really important, the representation of this movie. And I even said going in, as long as they make even an average romantic comedy, you're doing more than due justice, because this will do gangbusters in the theaters if it's an average romantic comedy. And this is a little above average. I don't think it's anything amazing. It's not one that I think will be one of those that necessarily everybody will revisit, you know, every Valentine's Day or something like that. But it'll find its audience, I assume, or hope, you know, Asian people, Asian Americans will also, you know, maybe it will be their one because it kind of they identify with it for every Valentine's Day. Just like, you know, most of us have every Christmas watch Love Actually if you're into romantic comedies and stuff like that. But
I'm judging you.
For Dog Days.
Yeah.
Or Dog Days.
That's Mike's one. Overall, though, I mean, yeah, the cast, some of them may not do anything amazing or be the best performance you'll ever see, but they move the plot, their characters have life, and then every side character is just the most fun side character for every scene they have, or the most lively side character. It's kind of everything I expected from this and wanted from it in the most positive way, and I love that it stays away from the worst tropes. So overall, I give it 7 out of 10 food stalls I wish I was at right now.
Kimberly, I would love to hear your thoughts.
So this movie, as much as I loved it, I couldn't get away from the feeling that it was just a really, really well-financed Netflix movie. And I feel that way because, as we've been harping on, the storyline is a little dated. They weren't doing anything that was extremely new to me. I didn't really see any... I like a movie with a twist. If you're going to be like a normal romantic comedy or whatever type movie, I would like a twist here or there. But at the same time, everything it promised me, they gave it to me. They gave me a good romance. The couple, I do think they could have built a little bit more on the romance in the beginning of the movie to make me feel like the couple had this really strong bond that could withstand all of this family drama.
Like a montage of them meeting.
Something like that. Or even hearing about how they met. They didn't even really go into that. They kind of just met up at a coffee shop and split a donut. And it was like a cutesy, like, oh, you're eating all my donut.
You've obviously like never had a truly great donut, Kim.
Also, you can't really split a donut unless it's like Gordo's.
We should go to Round Rock Donuts later.
Okay. But yeah, I think they could have built a little bit more on the main couple. I felt more like the secondary couple with Gemma Chu, was it? I forget her name, but yeah, Chan. They built more on that couple having a relationship than the main couple, which was kind of a disappointing side plot for me.
But it was weird that we knew almost nothing about the couple that was actually getting married. They're barely in the fucking movie except for
they're
the
barely
occasional
together.
Pep talk.
Yeah, they're barely together, and when they are together, they're either like consoling each other, or the girl's being like, why did you lie to me about this? Like, I don't know. That really hurt the romantic aspect of the movie. But the other thing that we were promised was beautiful visuals, some good food porn, as Chris likes to call it. And we got that in spades. And as Ben mentioned, the side characters were awesome. So I would say I would give this movie, because I think it is rewatchable, I would definitely show this to like my girls if we're having a girls' night. I'd give it 6 out of 10 dumplings.
What about you, Mike?
I feel like I like this movie a lot better than some of you guys. It is very much a romantic comedy, but I think the culture really sold me more than anything. Is that they're showing the different, you know, the different foods, the different locations, the different ways people interact with each other in this world. The fact that, you know, all the side characters are great. Every single one of them is really funny. They didn't use any of them to a point where they, you know, they felt annoying. I thought Awkwafina was way better in this than she was in Ocean's 8. I'm not gonna lie.
Agreed.
Haven't seen it, so don't know.
Ken Jeong. This is probably the most I've liked Ken Jeong in a while, too, as well, because they didn't overuse him either. I actually thought Constance Wu and Henry Golding actually had some decent chemistry. Mm. Although they, like you guys said, they didn't use the two of them together that often. I feel like that's more because they're probably making up for Henry Golding's acting more than anything. And even then, he wasn't bad. He was there. I thought he was fine. Gemma Chan. She was great. Her subplot, yeah, had a little more meat.
Marry to me, their... Gemma. Marry
me. She's probably not that rich.
it doesn't matter.
She's got the BBC money. Come on,
the BBC money. Yeah. Her subplot was pretty interesting. Although I felt like it kind of just wrapped up kind of randomly. More than anything, I feel there's probably a lot missing from that, especially with something that's, I guess, hinted towards the end, or because. It was kind of strange, like, now that we know who that person might have been, there might have been something that made more sense with it.
Are you still talking about Charlie, man? I gotta let Charlie go.
I saw the movie, and I don't even know what he's talking about.
No, I think you walked out for the Charlie scene.
Yeah, you walked out for the Charlie scene. It's in the middle of the credits.
Is there a credit scene?
There's literally a credit scene where she's still at the party, like the end party.
And you're spoiling shit,
buddy. She looks over her shoulder to somebody.
All right,
we'll say it after the review, but... Maybe this is my train of thought.
Thanos, yeah. Great, now it's ruined, Chris. God damn it.
They said I'll do it myself, and then he grabbed the gauntlet, and everyone was like, that's not fancy enough. Here's another one.
And they're like, what are you doing? Get back to work. We need more food out there on the trays. Sorry.
And he snapped, and all the food showed up. Sorry. Shit. God damn it.
That's a good use of the Infinity.
More dumplings.
More street food.
But the thing was, yeah, everybody was really charming. I thought Constance Wu was great. I only know her mostly from... She's the main actress on Fresh Off the Boat, mm-hmm. which is also really good. And she did a lot of interviews about this as well, saying that this is very important to, you know, the representation the same way I think even Fresh Off the Boat is. And I think this is actually a fairly important film in that regard. And culturally, I think it's fantastic. It's in the beginning was a little tough because it feels more like a normal romantic comedy since they're in the middle of New York.
Yeah.
But once they really get to Singapore and everything's just super colorful and it's just super great. And you can't help but fall in love with this place.
Three skyscrapers with a cruise liner on top of them. Not sure what that was about.
That's normal for them. Yeah. That's normal for them. They probably have like, you saw that rock movie. A skyscraper.
Also finance.
Also finance
with the Chinese. I was saying, like, Singapore feels like that one city that's, like, the only thing that makes it feel like it has a small dick as a city is, like, with that one in Saudi Arabia. What is it?
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Huh?
The building, the Burj Khalifa?
Yeah, but the whole Dubai.
Oh, Dubai.
They're like, God damn it, Dubai, now we gotta make a stupider, crazier building.
But overall, I thought this movie was great. I could see myself watching it again. I thought it was fantastic. Overall, I would give it 8.5 out of 10 Asian cover songs.
You are such a big girl. Anyway. Not there's anything wrong with
it. Are we getting Mike's man card at the end of this review?
I lost that card ages ago.
I think we're largely on the same page to differing degrees of how much we enjoyed it regardless. I'm definitely still, like, I'm more, I think Ben and I are more, like, on the same page on this one, where it's just kind of, it's in the middle, but it's elevated from a lot of stuff. Like, for instance... Yes, it has a lot of old tropes. There is a dress trying on montage.
Which I loved.
It was fun.
It was great.
The funniest lines in the whole movie are in that montage.
Because, again, Oliver's the best character.
Yeah, Oliver's the best character. Like I said, gay best friend. Yeah, I want him.
Mix that with Awkwafina making snide remarks.
And the fact there is a gay best friend. You're just like, okay, this is a romantic comedy. It falls down the romantic comedy a tree and hits every branch on the way down, but then it leaves like its own unique mark on each one. I mean, this is not a work of genius. It's a work of John M. Chu, who knows how to take like a trashy genre thing and elevate it to the point where you're like, this is much better than I normally expect these things to be. Because it's still kind of a trashy genre film, right? Like a lower level. I mean, this is not When Harry Met Sally, people. It's not. No. It's not even Love Actually. But it's its own thing. And you can't help but give it props to the fact that it is indeed this very, like, I mean, the fact this is getting a wide release in America with an entirely Asian cast, and it's as good as it is a big deal.
It's phenomenal.
And I'm not saying that just as sort of like, I'll give it that alone. If this movie sucked, I'd just say this is bad for Asian actors. And it doesn't suck. It's pretty good. And I suspect it's going to do pretty well. I enjoyed it. I'm so fucking hungry because of it. Fuck you, movie. And also, I now feel like no matter how much wealth I ever accrue, it will never be enough. But that being said, I give this 7 out of 10 dumplings that I wish were inside me right now.
Oh, I never felt so poor that's watching this film, though.
She said something similar to that, but not exactly.
Every scene in this movie is just like, yeah, if I was rich, I wouldn't be that creative with it, but well done.
Yeah, extremely well done. Like, I wish I was I'm not the guy who cries at weddings, but I was crying watching this wedding inside because I'm like, that's the coolest. I just want to be at a wedding that's that cool.
Well, and their bachelor party even proves that going to the strip club is a bad idea. Just buy a giant shipping freighter and go there.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way to do it. Guys, if I do, in fact, at some point decide to have an after-the-fact wedding thing with a bachelor party, you know, it's a little late now, I guess, but that's what I want. Okay, so y'all set that up for me, right?
We'll talk to Oscar Blues for sponsoring it.
There you go.
Best I can do is a t-shirt cannon.
You and your damn t-shirt cannons.